when this was gonna show up because I knew we would be buying all
the time. Okay.
Yeah. So Jacob comes home from camp, he's like, look what I got. Has that daily tag. 2019 daily tag. They must have had extra ones printed and they gave them to him.
Nice.
Yeah. So he still has half a year. Well, not half a year. Months. He still has months left.
Oh, you're a ninja.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
they
good.
They probably don't even sing anymore.
That's good. I need movement today. Good morning, church. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday as we celebrate God's love. It's great to be back with you all from camp. This is one of my favorite Sundays to come back to. I can get away with t-shirts and a nice shirt. We had a great week at camp. We discussed the question of why Jesus this week, and it was a very important question. It was great to spend time with our kids. Our kids did a great job representing our church. I'll share with you our announcements, and then I'll invite those who are at camp to share about a minute or two about their experience, what they learned. We do have some guests. I'm from Tar Hollow. They're welcome to sit back and relax. They don't have to share anything, but if they want to, they're welcome to come forward. Some announcements. Please don't forget, our last brown bag and big ideas of the summer will be this Monday from noon to 1:15. So get a chance to enjoy the sunshine one last time as we get to spend some time together at Tuscora Park. Please don't forget, after worship, we have birthday and anniversary Sunday. But we also have Jackie Pasquinelli giving us a presentation of the IPO on behalf of the Eastern District Board. So you get some ice cream and you'll also get a nice presentation along with that. We look forward to that. We are also, please keep note, we are still taking donations of applesauce containers and Kleenex packets like you have in the pews for Bethany. We need about 45 to 50 of those. So like the little applesauce cups and the Kleenex. Linda Spring, who's in charge of programs, she's going to be having the kids making blessing bags, similar to the ones that our joint board made last fall for people in need. So if you're interested in donating to that, please just bring it to me. I'll bring those with me when I go to camp. We're excited to support this wonderful ministry for kids. Next Sunday will be our Youth Sunday. I'm pleased to note that since hopefully it'll be a beautiful Sunday, we will actually be meeting in the church parking lot afterwards, and we are going to head over to the Pasquinelli's house. Steve and Jackie and Amy have been nice enough to invite the kids over, and we're going to take them swimming there from noon to 2, and we're going to make some hot dogs. And oh, yeah, it's going to be a good Sunday. We'll have more information coming out about that as the week goes on, a sign-up sheet for some things to bring. But we look forward for the opportunity for some relaxation and some fun time with our kids next week. At this time, I invite our Tar Hollow campers, if they want to come forward and share a little bit about their experience this week, we would gladly appreciate that.
So we have a theme dinner every year, and our theme this year was Dr. Seuss, if you couldn't tell by the Seuss font on mine and Ben's shirts. We raised an amount of money that was large, that I forgot the number, just over 2,000. And we all had fun. It was a great night. We all got put in jail quite a lot. It was very fun. I put all of them in jail since we can. The money is going to Esperanza for Bethlehem, which is it's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and it is a church. It helps children. Next.
So our program was called Why Jesus. It was led by Reverends Garrett and Sinette Fleming, who are a couple that co-pastor at, I believe, Emily's old church, Shenick Moravian, in Pennsylvania. So they co-pastor there together, and they're a married couple, obviously. And so the program was basically out of all these other religions, how there's thousands and thousands of other gods out there, why do we worship Jesus? And why is he the God that we choose to worship? So we pretty much investigated other religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, other stuff, and just sort of investigated those and what we thought of those and why Christianity, why we choose that over those other ones. That's pretty much the gist of program.
We did a lot of fun stuff. There were Monday night, there was a hoedown. That was a lot of dancing and a lot of fun. And then we had another little dance on Wednesday. Yeah. There was a sharing of gifts on Friday night where there were different acts, and it was really a lot of fun.
On Friday night, we had a variety show where everyone could, who signed up, could come up and do an act. There were comedy acts, there were singing acts. There was a dancing act that me and a friend of mine, we danced. It was amazing. And it was just a lot of fun. And besides that, I just really enjoyed the community and how just the atmosphere of the camp and everything.
If you have any questions, you can ask anybody after church. Thank you. Bye.
It was a great week. I will clarify something about our mission dinner we supported. Esperanza for Bethlehem is a ministry that happens in the south side of Bethlehem, kind of one of the rougher areas of Bethlehem. It's run by Tracy and Rhonda Robinson, who grew up in Nicaragua. And their ministry is helping kids with after-school activities and providing meals and making sure that they're able to avoid dangerous situations in their neighborhoods, such as gangs and other things we don't want children to get into. They had done this ministry by renting a Lutheran church for about 5 or 6 years, and they were kicked out of it last August, some issues with the rental agreement. So right before the school year, they had to kind of backpedal and try to come up with a way to do this ministry. And for the last 9 or 10 months, they have been worshiping in the pastor's house every Sunday night as they tried to provide this ministry. But the province was able to buy an old church on the south side of Bethlehem, right next to one of their key school units, with a parsonage. But the church and the parsonage have a lot of work to be done with it. And so this money goes to support to help the renovations of this, so Esperanza can have their own permanent home. And it really is a beautiful ministry. And our kids raise, they keep surprising me with how much money they raise, but over $2,000. What a gift it was to see. And I think my biggest surprise was Kira just rocking it on the dance floor. That was awesome to see. Not too many seventh graders are willing to do that. So it was great to see all of our kids participate and do a wonderful job. Before we shake hands, I'm going to share with you our anniversaries and birthdays. Dave and Janet Jenkins, that is actually listed as July 14th. I'll make a change there, actually June 14th. Doug and Angie Miller celebrated their anniversary, and Norm and Cheryl Cadry celebrated their anniversary on the 26th. Birthdays, Allison Nisley, Joyce Swaldo, Rob Hansen, and John Castor. I'm actually going to ask for our birthday and anniversary for Norm and Cheryl to stand up, please, because you celebrated a pretty significant anniversary. They celebrated their 50th anniversary. So let's give them a round of applause. You may remain seated as we join together to sing the Moravian Birthday Hymn.
Father, Son,
stand and greet one another. Morning, Rick. Morning, Andy. Morning, Stacy. Morning.
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 Morning. You're good.
Morning.
Morning. Morning, Randy. Morning, Caleb. Oh, sorry. You're good. Too many hands. Morning, Kylie. Morning, Becca. How's it going? Morning, Mitch. How are we doing?
This is mine, the one I do.
Morning, Sharon. Good to meet your buddies. Give me a hug. You may remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 11th chapter of Luke, the first verse. Lord, teach us to pray. You may be seated. Thank you, choir. Please stand as we join together in our call to worship. Great is the glory of God. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for us. Please remain standing as we join together to sing, Christ is our cornerstone.
please join me in our liturgy found on page 115. God's amazing grace is offered to us today, tomorrow, and forever. Thanks be to God.
God's grace renew our lives like a glorious tree. Thanks be to God for the wellspring of the joy of living.
In the assurance of God's unconditional love poured out for us in Jesus Christ, we pray first for ourselves and for our needs. For forgiveness for wrongs we have done and good deeds we have not done. For courage to change what needs changing within our lives. For wisdom to seek God's guidance. For healing of our body, mind, spirit, and relationships. For a thankful awareness of all the blessings of our lives. Hear our prayers, God of grace.
Yes, our need and our honesty.
In the abundance of your mercy, we pray for others, for members of our families, for our friends and neighbors, for those with whom we work and learn and play, for the sick, the frightened, the lonely, for those who grieve, for those who are desperate and angry, for those in prison, for the hungry, the homeless, the poor, for those we perceive as our enemies. Hear our prayers, God of compassion.
Send your spirit on all for whom we pray.
In the awareness that we are one with all your human creation, we pray about the issues that confront us all. For our planet and the environment in which we live, for the end of war, ethnic conflict, and all violence, for liberation from racism, bigotry, and injustice, for freedom from addictions of all kinds, for the end of abuse of children, women, and men, for each member of the human family, that all may know the dignity and worth of being a child of God. For solutions to our common human dilemmas, and for our dedication to be part of these solutions. Hear our prayers, God of justice, God of love.
May your love and justice be manifest in our lives. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth.
In this act of worship, we come in faith. Faith that our problems will not defeat us. Faith that our hearts and spirits can be renewed. Faith that we are not alone, for you are with us.
Thanks be to you, God our Savior, for meeting us here in this time and place. Thanks be to you for forgiving us, for freeing us, and for strengthening us to be your disciples in this life.
We are filled with the grace, mercy, and peace of God.
We are filled with the love of Jesus Christ. We give thanks that we are blessed, and we commit ourselves to be a blessing to others. Amen.
You may be seated. As we think about our offering today, I always come away from camp week thinking about the gift of abundance. You spend a week at camp, and especially working with the RYC, we work hard to raise money for our mission fundraiser. And you're always scared that with 70 kids who are all working to get through college or high school or all these other things, how much money can you raise to make a difference in a ministry? Well, every year these kids come together and they find a way to do it. Because they don't look at themselves and see what they don't have, but they look at themselves and see what they do have, what they are capable of giving. And may we all approach God with the same spirit, that we are capable of giving far more than even we think we are capable of giving. Let us give to God our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus,
help us to remember when we pray to you to not focus on finding the right words, but help us to make sure our hearts are dedicated to you. We know that you will supply us with all the words we need. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. We remember sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Tim Miller. He passed away this past week. He is a brother of a friend of Alicia Miller. We pray for George Jones. He's a member of the Yerkesville congregation. He had a horse accident this week. So we pray for his strength and recovery. We pray for Tammy Eichel, who is having a procedure on Wednesday. Let us give thanks. I didn't get to be here with you last Sunday, but I just want to rejoice about the wonderful VBS program we had. I really felt like all our staff and all our kids had a great week, and I'm so thankful for all the volunteers and the hard work and sweat that was put into us, especially thanks to our director, Angie Miller. For Tar Hollow, for the wonderful experience that it was, that we have an opportunity to go to camp. And we have a congregation that continually supports our kids in their spiritual nourishment and education, which is such an important part of our Moravian identity. We also offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Dorothy Johnson. She passed on Tuesday. She is Pastor Daryl Johnson's mother. She passed away after a stroke and a short battle. She was 101 years old, though, and lived a wonderful life and touched a lot of hearts in the Sharon Moravian Church. The calling hours for her service will be 4 to 7 on Wednesday, and the service will be at 11 on Thursday at Sharon Moravian. Our prayers are with not only Pastor Daryl Johnson, but Chris Johnson, who was also with us with Tar Hollow this past week and did our covenant service on Wednesday and was very involved with our camp life this week and still did a wonderful job. We pray for Marnie Wickert, one of our campers. She was an exchange camper, actually, from my hometown in Watertown, Wisconsin. She was driving back to Watertown yesterday and had a car accident yesterday in Ohio. She is fine. Her health is good. The car is not so good. But we pray for Marnie. Her parents actually had to go down to Dayton yesterday and go all the way to Ohio and bring her back to Wisconsin. Because is she leaving for Peru tomorrow or in the next couple days? Tomorrow. So she was back for their installation service for this. So we pray for Marnie because she just did back-to-back weeks of camp and now she's going straight to Peru on a mission trip. But what a wonderful reminder of the energy that God provides for us. For Barry Hahn, we continue to keep him in prayer. Audrey shared that he was diagnosed with Pick's disease. We prayed for his continued strength and recovery. And we are grateful that he was able to find some answers to some of his health issues. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, as the sun shines through the windows, may your love shine through us, and we are so grateful for your presence in our lives. First and foremost, I want to uplift the wonderful camp weeks we had with VBS and Tar Hollow. A reminder that our kids are wonderful and thoughtful and intelligent spiritual beings. May you continue to protect them and preserve them and lead them on the righteous path as they make the journey back to the broken world. And gracious God, We think of all those who are going through hard and difficult times right now. We think especially of the family of Tim Miller and of Dorothy Johnson as they grieve over the loss of loved ones. We think of Tammy Eichel as she has her upcoming surgery on Wednesday. We think of Marnie Wickert, who is in a car accident, and Barry Hunt, who is diagnosed with Tick's disease. May you provide each one of them with comfort and love and hope. And may each one of us know that. Because you remind us that it's not the words we supply in prayer, but it's the compassion that matters. So help us to remain compassionate disciples, compassionate followers, and compassionate neighbors. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture for today is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. We found on page 12 of your Pew Bibles. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I have been told so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it."
Thank you, Brother Rick. Our gospel today comes from the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Come on, Abuela. Little thing to grab for you. So how's everybody doing this morning? Good. You got a lot of energy? Yeah, I just came from camp, so I have tons of energy. So we're going to talk about an important question that we talked about camp. Can anybody tell me what that question is? Paige?
Why Jesus?
Why Jesus? So when you hear that question, what do you think of? How about, why do we love Jesus? Aubrey? He's all around us. That's a great one. Rylan?
If he wasn't here,
what was that, Rylan?
If he wasn't
here, we wouldn't even be alive if it weren't for Jesus. So I want you to look at this picture. And my small group at camp did a beautiful job making this poster about why Jesus. I was really proud of the creativities of my girls. We got two of them actually right here, Becca and McKenna. I want you to name as many things on this poster that Jesus loves as you think you can. Just shout them out. Paige? Bugs? What about that one? Is that your favorite bug? Ladybug? Yep. Tyler? That's a good one. Brandon? What about, what does God love? Rainbows? Yep. Rylan?
The earth.
The earth. Yep. Yep, you can see them all over. And what I like about this poster is, can you find me, what's one of the bigger pictures? What's the biggest thing they drew? Paige.
The rainbow.
The rainbow. And show me something that's really small that they drew. Can you point it out for me? Rylan, come up here and point it out for me. A star, so a nice little star. And a spider. Ooh, you found a spider. Tell me what. So do you think God loves a little spider any less than he loves a rainbow? No, he loves all of us exactly the same. And so one of the things my group displayed is that no matter where we are, who we are, or what we look like, in all of creation, God loves us all just the same. And that means we can carry that love with us everywhere we go. Especially when we get asked questions about, why do you love Jesus? Why is Jesus important in your life? We can remember, what, Aubrey?
Because
he already loves us, and we get to carry that love with us every place we go. And what a gift from God that is. Let's get in our circle and pray, and we can all have a treat. You want to grab my hand, bud? And you want to grab Tyler's? There you go. Perfect. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for these kids, for their just willingness to be your disciples, for their willingness to ask the question about why Jesus is important in their lives, and help them to remember that no matter how big or small or where they look like or where they go, that Jesus will love them in all times and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. Good job. Go ahead and grab a snack. You want a snack? Oh, yeah. Good job, everybody. You may remain seated as we join together to sing, "They Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Let us pray together. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and may you inspire us with the words of Scripture to be disciples of Christ in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So once again, I wanted to remind you that today is a Q&A Sunday, so that's why if you see a whiteboard behind me, on the last Sunday of the month, there will always be a whiteboard in the narthex with a question for you to respond to. Some weeks you may have something to respond to, some weeks you may just be interested in what other people say, but we'll work this in throughout our message, because I always appreciate hearing what everybody in the congregation has to say about a topic that we happen to be preaching on. But first and foremost, today is that the day where we come back from camp, a lot of us who had the experience to be there. Many of the people who've been to Tar Hollow or Bethany or all of our other camps know how hard it is to come back and try to explain what happened there. Because first thing you do, most of our kids, they get through the door. It has been a long week, and Mom asks you, "Oh, how was your week?" And you're like, "Oh, it's awesome, and I'm going to go right to bed, aren't you?" That's kind of how we feel when we get home from camp, that we're just so exhausted, we're so tired. But it's a good exhaustion, it's a good fatigue from loving the Lord. And many of us who haven't been to camp, we've had spiritual experiences where we just feel connected with God. But how we explain that is so difficult to do. We talk about the Abraham and Isaac effect. How are we able to come back down the mountain when we've seen such a wonderful thing, a heart-based thing? It's hard to explain that. I'm going to do my best to give you a glimpse into the week that we had at camp. Our program, as you can see from our shirts that we're wearing today, was called Why Jesus? A very simple question, but a vital question to all of our spirituality. And Garrett and Sinette Fleming did a wonderful job laying out the framework the first couple days. And what was interesting, the very first activity we all did in groups is we were given this large sheet, and we had to circle in our small groups all the number of names, different names for God from different religions that we all recognize, whether it was Buddha or Mary or Allah. And it was interesting to see that the average number of gods that people could identify was somewhere between 25 to 27. So the question was, why were we, out of this buffet of religions and choices, why were we choosing Jesus in our lives? And we spent a lot of the first 2 days examining world religions and looking at the impact that they have on people. Our kids and our staff got to learn quite a bit. For example, in Islam, we learned quite a bit. Many people don't realize that in Islam, Jesus is actually a very big part of Islam. He's just considered not the Messiah, but a succession in the lines of prophets in Islam. In fact, it's a sin to even say in Islam that he was crucified, because a prophet of God cannot be hurt in Islam. In my small group, we spent a lot of time talking about Hinduism. We learned about that. The process of going through the journey from ignorance to wisdom, a very important part of Hinduism. And we talked a lot about how cows are sacred in Hindu culture and how that felt so foreign to us. I mean, not those of us from Wisconsin, but from other places throughout the United States. But for us, it was kind of like, wow, that's so strange, because in India, if you drive in India and you see a cow on the road, you do not shoo them, you do not chase them, you wait until that cow decides to cross the road, because they are considered the mother of humanity, almost. And they have such a high esteem and respect. And it made us think about, well, what do people look at Christians that we do and think that's weird or strange? And I told my small group about the example of the first time I gave communion to my 5-year-old niece. And I tried to explain to her what was happening. And she just looked at me and she's like, "You really eat his blood? Like, that's so gross." And I'm like, "Well, no, but not really. You gotta try to understand it." And it put us all in the perspective of how Hindu people look at different things. And we learned about Buddhism and enlightenment. But it all came home to looking at why we are choosing Jesus in our own lives and why it is important to have a relationship with Christ in our lives. And we looked a lot of different scriptures and different concepts. And I found myself reflecting as a Moravian on one scripture verse throughout the week that really made me think hard about our identity as Christians, my personal feelings, and it was John 14:6. Many of you may know that verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I struggle with this verse a lot because there are a lot of people who use that verse. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they look at their denomination and their perspective, and they use that as a way to say it's a very narrow way. It is only our way that you can get to God. And people have used that verse throughout history to exclude people. And for us as Moravians, that's never been what we do. We've been more about inviting people to the table. And so we interpret that verse more as love is the way, love is the truth, and no one gets to the Father without love, and how that can guide us and shape us. But it's very important to think about when we're talking about our identity. Because we as Moravians believe that the way to teach people about how Jesus is important in our lives is to show them love and not to scream love. I can't think of one Christian who has joined the church because they saw somebody in the Philly courthouse square with a sign that said, repent or you'll go to hell. I mean, I've never seen one person do that. But I have seen tons of people repent because they've seen compassion in other people. They've seen smiles. They've seen people take care of them. And they think in their hearts, I want to be like that. I want to share that love in my heart. And so we are not screamers, but we are sharers. And it made me think hard about that. And I wanted to share with those of you, I thought really hard about what this means when we think about other religions. Because we see the truth in our relationship with Christ. So how do we reconcile people who believe differently with us? How do we treat them? And I was touched actually thinking about a story that I had read way back, and it's called The Story of Nathan and the Three Rings. This is a story that goes back a long time. And there's a story about this great ring of truth that existed a long time ago that had so much value, that had so much just awe to it, that it would be passed down from generation to generation, father to son, and it worked beautifully because in this family, in Nathan's family, there would always be one son in every generation. So it was very easy to pass that one ring of truth, of power, of all this wonder down to that chosen son. But then it so happened that on the line of generations, one of the sons had three sons. So what was he going to do when it came down of his day of passing? How was he going to figure out which one of his three sons was most deserving of the ring? And so very secretly, it would be Nathan Jr., Jr., however you want to look at it, but he had two pristine, identical rings made that none of his sons knew about. And on the day of his death, each of his sons was given a ring. And each one of them looked at their ring and they saw it and thought, wow, I have the authentic ring. The powerful ring, the true ring. And then they look around and they see their brothers and they get together and they look and, wait, you got a ring too. And you got a ring too. And what do they start doing? They start fighting about who has the true ring. And none of them can settle this argument. So they go before a judge. And the judge was wise. The judge would be God in this scenario. And the judge looks at each son with each of their three rings. And he says, the only way you can settle this dispute between us, between all three of you, is you'll never get a perfect answer until you see your Father in heaven. But you need to live as if the ring you wear has the authentic truth, the true power. And you need to treat your brothers like the possibility that they too may have authentic truth and power. And those three rings are Christianity, Islam and Judaism and other religions. And when you think about it from that perspective, it means we honor our truth, but we still love and respect the truth and authenticity of others. Because we know that our truth speaks to us. We know that Christ speaks to us. But we know that other people have different paths and different ways to God. And that's what we can learn. We can come to God from many different paths. That's what our scripture tells us. If you talk to God, if you ask God, if you seek God, or you knock on his door, it will be revealed to you. All you have to do is come to God. You got to have the courage to ask questions, to look for God and really yearn for God in your life. And it will be revealed to you. Scripture is clear about that. And when we think about our authenticity as Christians, as disciples of Christ, I ask you to listen to this message from Genesis that Rick read for us today. Because in Genesis, we get a reminder that God cares more about where our hearts are than how many people are in our group. It was interesting in our small group when we were making that big poster. We had like about a bug that was about this big step across our poster. And it made me think about, as this bug was traveling across this poster, I imagined how big this poster looked to a bug that was about an inch. That could be as big as the United States or the world. And we as Moravians, sometimes in a world of so many religions, especially in Christianity, where there are so many denominations, we can often feel like a little bug on a piece of paper. But in Genesis, we're reminded that it doesn't matter how many righteous people are in your corner. It matters where your heart is. Because Abraham is constantly challenging God. God, if I can deliver you 50 righteous people, will you save Sodom? And he says, yes. What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about even 10 people who are authentic, who are caring, who are compassionate? Will you save Sodom? And God says, yes, I will save Sodom for just 10 people. And that should remind us as Moravians that it's not about numbers. It's about where our heart is. Because if God's willing to do wonderful things for just 10 people, imagine the wonderful things that he will do for us if our hearts are in the right places, if they are devoted to God, devoted to Christ. Because at the end of the day, we get down to this important question. Why Jesus? Why is Jesus the one we love? Why is Jesus the one we cared for? And for this one, I didn't expect a whole lot of responses, because when you hear that question, for many of you, it's probably hard to articulate. Why is Jesus such an important part of my life? That's actually why I drew in a heart up there. Because sometimes it's a thought and a feeling thing for many of us, that we just know in our heart that we want Christ to be there. When we talk about Jesus, our heart feels full and fulfilled. And I like this one, because he saved us and died for us. Important, when we look at all these academic and theological perspectives, we all come down to the fact that Jesus laid down his life for us, and that has to be the foundation of what we seek. And somebody wrote 1 Peter 3:15. So we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3:15, and I really appreciated whoever wrote this, because this is a very Moravian scripture. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with a gentleness and respect. Do it with gentleness and respect. And I think that is such the Moravian way to go about evangelism. To talk to people, to ask people, but to do it gently, to do it respectfully. Because if you show people you have Christ's love in their heart, they will want it too. And then it all comes down to that feeling of inner peace, of knowing that you are connected with God. And once again, it may not be something you articulate, it may not be something you shout, but you just feel it in your bones, that you know that you are a child of God, you know that Christ loves you, and you know that it will all be taken care of. Because at the end of the day, that's the question we'll be asked on our day of arrival in heaven. Why Jesus? Why is Jesus an important part of our lives? And it's something I think I thought hard about in this week at camp, because it's something we have to be able to analyze and believe with our brains. It is something we also have to feel deeply in our hearts. It can't be a one or the other thing. It has to be intellectual and it has to be internal. For when we know our purpose, when we know why Jesus? When we can answer that question, we can remind people just how special this discipleship can be when we take Christ in our heart. And the powerful thing about that is when we know our why, Jesus won't have to ask, where are the righteous people? Where are 50 righteous people? Where are 40 righteous people? Where are 30 righteous people? He will look out at the world, and he won't have to ask, he won't have to seek, he won't have to knock, but he will see it in the love that you have for God and the love that you have for your neighbors, and how that will transform the broken world. And our leader at Tar Hollow, Daryl Bell, did a great job with closing, summarizing that, you know, all of us, when we leave camp or we leave a wonderful spiritual experience where people are gathered and connected to God, we always leave saying, oh, now it's time to go back to the real world. But it's so often when we build a community where people care for one another, where people love one another, where people are seeking out one another, that's not the fake world, that's the Christ-like world. That's the world we hope to build. And we return to the broken world, trying to remind people of what the world could be like if we let Christ's love in our heart. A world where we care for one another, a world where we love one another, a world where Jesus can be found everywhere. And we know our why, our purpose. It's all to love, it's all to share God's hope, and it's all to remain faithful to God in all we do. Because Jesus is an important part of our life, and he has provided us with an authentic truth that we can share. And we can share it humbly and respectfully and gently. Because that's what Jesus did. He didn't shove it down our throats, but he shared God's love every chance he could. And may we follow in the footsteps of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and just when we think about this question, help us to turn it over to you, because we realize that some of us, it will be a gut feeling, some of it will be an analytical feeling, and some of us, it will be a heart feeling. But may we always think hard about why Jesus matters to us. Because when we know that we are living with a purpose, we are not just going through life day by day, but we are going through life with meaning and with intent, and we can truly build the kingdom of God, and we can spread your love everywhere, so the broken world will fade away, but the Christ-like love world will sustain and grow stronger every single second. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand for our final hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.